Welcome to another episode of Before You Kill Yourself with your host, Leo Flowers. I am Leo Flowers. Today I want to talk about, are you engaging or enduring your days? Let me say it again. Are you engaging with your life or are you enduring your life? I was on a cruise ship recently. And there was a woman in a wheelchair, and I asked her, I said, how'd you get in a wheelchair? She said that she had a cortisone shot in her knee. It was injured from playing soccer, and the cortisone shot spiked her insulin level so high that it shattered the bones in her right foot. Now, I've never heard of such a thing. I had no idea such a thing was possible. When I've talked to other nurses about it and medical professionals, they had never heard of such a thing. And yet when I Google it and I look it up, there it is. It is possible. And so she's had to endure the pain. She's had to endure the change in her life. She was going to school to be a nurse. And now because of the shattered bones in her feet, she can no longer be a nurse. She can't be on her feet for very long. And actually, it's been about a few years before she had learned how to walk. She had to go to seven different doctors before she found a doctor that actually could do a surgery to repair her feet so she can start walking. So she's had to endure a lot of pain, a lot of change in her life because she was very physical. She was a soccer player. And also, it changed the dynamic in her relationship with her husband. And so I want to talk about, are you enduring or are you engaging? Because she found a way to engage with life again by switching her career focus to coding, something that allowed her to sit instead of be on her feet, to go into rehab, and, you know, she's married. So she found a way to engage and endure. And so the key thing with this episode is that one is not better than the other. What's important is to recognize where and when we're enduring and where and when we're engaging, right? So what are some of the things that we're typically enduring? Financial hardships. Health issues, relationship struggles, right? Whether it's with your family, your friends, a romantic partner, all that stuff can be emotionally taxing. You're just trying to endure through the disagreements and the communication issues and the politics, whatever comes up in your relationship issues. We may be enduring loss and grief, right? Maybe we lost a person, a pet, our purpose. They're just, you know, for her to lose that physicality, you may have lost your home. So there's an emotional pain and adjustment that comes with the different losses that life throws at us. Maybe we lost our job, right? And then there's that workplace stress that we're enduring, the nagging boss, the long hours, the underpay. I've never, or the, you know, the job insecurity, the difficult colleagues that you may have. So all these different areas we may be enduring. And sometimes we're not even aware that we're enduring. Because I remember like when I played college football, even high school football, the coach would call it going through the motions. Like you're just going through the motions, Flowers. And it means that I'm not really engaging. I'm just trying to hang in there until the end of the practice. And so you may find yourself in that space where you're just trying to hang in there until the, you know, sometimes like in a relationship, there's that moment where your significant other wants to have a talk. We need to talk. And then you find yourself just trying to endure that conversation. You're like, oh, here we go. Because when we need to talk, it is always about what I need to change, right? So how do we know if we're enduring our days? One is if we're just kind of in this routine survival. you know, going through daily tasks without much enthusiasm, no joy. We're just simply trying to get through the day, right? We're almost like a robot, an automaton. There's just no heightened excitement or thing that we're looking forward to. We're just checking the boxes of our day. And then also, we know we're enduring if we're engaging in monotonous work, right? Just doing repetitive, unfulfilling tasks without really actively seeking ways to make that experience more enjoyable or meaningful. One example is with food. Maybe we're eating the same things at the same times every day, and we're not thinking about how to spice up what we're eating or our workout. We're doing the same workout every day. It's not bringing us joy, and yet we're not looking for ways to add excitement to it. Maybe we work out at a different gym or a different time, or we invite others to work out with us. In what ways are we doing repetitive and unfulfilling tasks that we actually can heighten? Maybe even playing music while we're working. Give it a little, going from sitting down and working to a standing desk. These are all just tiny ways to kind of break up the energy. And then passive entertainment, right? Are we spending all our free time on activities that require minimal mental or physical engagement, like scrolling through our cell phones and watching TV for hours? And there's nothing wrong with passive engagement, right? You know, I was just on a flight from Miami to San Diego, and, you know, I'm watching movies. I bought a People magazine, right? I want lowest common denominator. It was a late flight. It was like a 7 p.m. flight, and I had a 8-hour layover. So I hadn't slept the night before, so I definitely wasn't looking for anything that was going to be too intellectually stimulating. My brain just couldn't handle it. So there's a place for it. But once again, it's about recognizing what phase we're in. And then we know we're enduring our days if we're isolating, right? Are we avoiding social interactions and remaining in a state of solitude without actively seeking connections or meaningful relationships? Or are we not going to the coffee shop or not accepting our friends' invites to parties and get-togethers? We're basically enduring our days. We're just like, you know what? I don't want anything significant or special or too emotionally intense. So I'm just gonna isolate. I'm just gonna avoid people and wall myself off in my house. I'm not returning your phone calls. I'm not checking on anyone. I'm just checking the boxes. And then, are we avoiding challenges? Are we shying away from opportunities for personal growth or professional growth or avoiding challenges? I was on a cruise ship, because I do stand up if this is your first time listening in. And there was this guy, just got married, second marriage, 3 kids, has a day job working for a airline. But he's also working on getting his pilot's license. And I was like, man, how are you doing this? You're a husband, a father, 3 kids. You have a day job. And then you're also, you know, but he's a person who wasn't shying away from opportunities for personal growth. There's a movie on, I forget the name of it, but it's a true story about this immigrant farmer who had aspirations to want to be an astronaut. And he's submitting his application to be an astronaut, and they're like, you don't even come close to meeting our requirements. And so his wife was like, what do the people who come close have? And he was like, well, they have to learn Russian, and they have to know how to fly a plane, and they have to know how to scuba dive. So she was like, well, it sounds like you know what the next 3 things you have to do are. And so he did that, and then he ends up getting in NASA and being an astronaut. So he didn't avoid challenges. He didn't shy away from the opportunities for personal growth. Now, so those are ways in which we may be enduring our days, right? Routine, survival, isolation, avoiding challenges, passive entertainment, monotonous work. But now, you know, for some of us, we may be in that space where we're engaging our days, right? And how do we know if we're really engaging our days? Because it's really beautiful to know what end of the spectrum that we're at. And we know we're engaging our days if we feel mindfully present, right? Of each moment where instead of eating while watching TV and reading the newspaper, I'm actually just doing one thing at a time. If I'm on a phone having a conversation, that's all I'm doing. If I'm folding clothes, that's all I'm doing. I'm being mindfully present. I don't have 12 things happening at one time. I'm really finding joy and satisfaction in the small details of my everyday life. When I go for a walk, I don't have my headphones in. I'm feeling the breeze, the sun. I'm hearing the birds, cars going by, neighbors having conversations. Maybe there's a dog barking off in the distance. I'm being mindfully present. I'm feeling my feet on the ground, the clothes on my body, right? Mindful presence. And then we also know we're engaging our days when we have these passionate pursuits, when we're pursuing hobbies, interests, activities that bring us joy and fulfillment. You know, whether that's like you're volunteering or you're working on a car, maybe it's even traveling, like you're booking your next travel arrangement, but you have some type of hobby. It could be ultimate frisbee or stamp collecting, right? What is your passionate pursuit? Right now, I'm really finding joy in reading classic novels. I just read The Reader, which is not a classic novel, but what a powerful story. It's such a beautiful story. And maybe I'll do an episode on that. But I'm really enjoying expanding the types of books that I'm reading, because I would typically just want to read crime fiction novels. That's it. But I was like, all right, Leo, we got to challenge ourselves. Let's open ourselves up to other types of books. And then I can always come back. If I decide that all the other genres suck and all the other authors suck, I can always come back to the crime fiction. I already know I got that in the bag, but I'm curious to see what else is out there, right? Same thing with music. I love collecting new playlists, new songs. When I travel places, I try to listen for what the music that the local people are playing, and then I add that to my Spotify playlist so that it keeps it fresh. And that way, when Spotify is recommending music to me, it's always something that's cool and fresh, and it just allows me to feel connected in another way. And then the other way we know we're engaging is through meaningful work, right? When we're approaching our work with enthusiasm and dedication and we're seeking challenges and finding a purpose for what we do. And, you know, in terms of that purpose for what we do, that has to come from us. Other people will give you a meaning for what you're doing. You know, the company that you work for will tell you why the work you're doing is so important. And that's valuable to have. It's also valuable to have our own reason and adding our own purpose to the work that we're doing, whether it's to, you know, pay for our parents so they don't have to, you know, be in a nursing home, or whether it's because you like to see the smiles on people's faces when you help them and what you're doing day to day. Like, whatever the meaning is, you have to assign your own meaning. You can't let that just come from the external world, because their meanings are always going to change, right? But so you need to find that thing that gives you a purpose. Why are you showing up for this job every day? Why are you showing up for your relationships every day? Why are you showing up to the gym? right? What's your purpose? What's your why? That's what's valuable. And then, do we have active social connections? Are we actively seeking and maintaining meaningful relationships, engaging in social activities, and fostering a sense of community? You know, one of the great things about having a dog is that Michelle is my girlfriend, Mila is our dog, and because of having this dog in her life, Michelle is able to like volunteer at high schools and nursing homes and hospitals, and just because it's a support, I don't know, like there's all these different accreditations you can get with having a dog, where you can use it for volunteer purposes. And so it's really allowed Michelle to be actively engaged and actively connect in the community. And even if it's recycling or blood donations, right? A book drive. There are just all these tiny ways, beach cleanups. There are all these tiny ways that we can improve our social connections, or just saying hi to the cashier, right? But just finding a tiny way, waving at the bus driver, whatever it is, leaving a card for your mail person. There are all these tiny ways that we can have active social connections. And then lastly, we know we're engaging our days is when we're continually learning, embracing the opportunities for learning and personal development, whether through formal education, self-directed learning, or skill-building activities. So whether you're in school or in your garage, as long as you're tinkering, trying to learn something, take something apart. Find an old, you know, what's a cool thing you can do is go to a thrift store or, you know, one of those, and just buy some old appliances or electronics and take it apart and see if you can put it back together again. Just out of curiosity. And you might be surprised at what you learn in the process of doing that. Sometimes there's something beautiful about doing something for the sake of doing it, and not for an external reward or any money, but just like, hey, I want to do this. You know, the key difference is really about our approach to life, right? Enduring implies a passive and survival-oriented mentality, while engaging involves actively seeking fulfillment, joy, and personal growth in our day-to-day experiences. And so if you're a person who feels like you're enduring right now, that's okay. It's just to be aware. And there are movies, you know, that exemplify people who are just enduring their lives. There are time periods. If you look at the Great Depression, right, where people struggled to make ends meet, and their unemployment was through the roof. I think unemployment was like 30%. Poverty was up. The daily struggle for survival was characterized during the Great Depression. And so that was a period in America. But now if you look at the economy today, you know, just right now, the stock market is up. You know, there are more millionaires and billionaires today than ever. So we see the pendulum can swing. There's, you know, there's so many ways you can look at, okay, the Great Depression was a period. So I might be in the Great Depression of my life, but if I can endure it and get through there and then find a way to engage, I might be able to swing that pendulum to the other side, right, of the great growth or the great success. I don't know what you would call that. But if you look at the Diary of Anne Frank, that's another example of someone enduring, right, where she's writing about her experiences during the Holocaust, this young Jewish girl hiding in an attic from the Nazis. She has to endure. She just has to endure every day. But she found a way to engage also, right, where she's like, well, I'm gonna keep journals. I'm going to write down what's happening. Schindler's List, another example, 1984 by George Orwell. It's about a dystopian future. And that is talking about a bleak and oppressive existence, right, under the authoritarian rule of the party at that time, and how people had to endure, and they struggled day to day. So if you're looking for examples, whether it's a book or a time period of people enduring, just so that you can feel connected, those are some of those, right? And then on the opposite side, if you're a person who is engaging, right, and you want more inspiration on engaging life, you got The Pursuit of Happiness with Will Smith, right, about a father who was living on the streets with his son and was and then became very successful in business. Dead Poets Society with Robin Williams, rest in peace. Awesome English teacher, encouraging students to engage with literature and poetry and life. You have the book Eat, Pray, Love, where Elizabeth Gilbert is embarking on this journey of self-discovery and personal growth. So you can, if you look at the Renaissance period, that was a period of where we're engaging in the arts and culture and intellectual pursuits. So there are these time periods, these books, these movies. We can use the arts and life as a way to validate our experience and see how other people navigated those time periods. I want to give you a quote. The purpose of our life is to be happy. And that's by Dalai Lama, by the Dalai Lama. Now, I got to say, that in terms of being happy, we have to create that. Like, life is not just going to give us, it's like not a right, right? But it's like, what brings me joy? What brings me peace or calm or clarity, right? And so to ask yourself, like, what's that little thing I can do today that would make me put a little smile on my face? To give me a little smirk, right? Now, as I said earlier, enduring and engaging doesn't make one good and one bad. There's an upside to enduring. When we are able to endure, right, then it helps us build resilience and strength, because it can, when we are overcoming these challenges, it can build character. You talk about the Shackleton. I don't know if you remember 1903, I believe, there was an expedition through Antarctica. These guys crashed into an iceberg, and they were there for 3 years. They had to endure being in Antarctica for 3 years, until they were rescued. It was like 30 men. I read the book. It's called Endurance, actually. And as a result, those guys built resilience and strength. I remember in this story, one guy had a heart attack and he lived. I mean, they're out in the middle of nowhere. So there are upsides to enduring. It gives us an appreciation for stability. When we go through hardships, then we go, oh my God. Then when things are calm, we're so happy. Because sometimes when things are calm, we're like, oh, it's boring. We want some action. But when things have been tough and rough and life is throwing everything at us, and then the dust settles, we're like, oh my God, I'm so glad things are chill. I'm glad that we're not arguing, we're not fighting. I feel safe. I feel relaxed. I can actually close my eyes and go to sleep. I can eat in peace, right? So when I was on a flight, flying here, this guy, he was so tall that his knees were in the back of my chair. And I just had to endure it. I knew that he wasn't doing it intentionally. He was like 12 foot tall, right? So I just had to endure it. And then, once I was able to stand up and get going, I had such an appreciation for not having knees in my back. And I had to reframe it also. I was like, this is kind of like one of those massage chairs where, it kneads you up and down in your back. Because it didn't hurt. It was just an awareness of, oh, his knees are in my back. And then there's the character growth and maturity that comes from enduring, right? Because we build patience, perseverance, and just the overall mature outlook on life. Because when we go through difficult experiences, there's typically personal growth that comes with that, increased emotional intelligence. Going back to the woman whose foot was shattered, now she has probably more empathy for people with injuries, people who are having health issues just because of everything that she's gone through, right? Now, with that said, there are downsides to engaging, right? Because there's upsides to enduring. There's some downsides if we're over-engaged, right? It could lead to burnout because we're not taking breaks. We just keep pushing ourselves, go, go, go. That mental exhaustion, that could erode our well-being. If we're engaging too much, then we can overcommit. We're saying yes to everything and not really creating space, which can lead to stress and frustration and decreased quality of work and relationships. And then if we're overengaged, we can neglect balance, right? Focusing too much on one area of our life, such as work or personal goals, may lead to neglect in other essential aspects, such as relationships, health, or leisure. So maintaining a healthy balance is crucial for overall well-being and life satisfaction. So the key takeaways are balance is key. Personal growth can happen whether we're enduring or engaging. To practice mindful living, to be present, and to actively make choices in what we're doing versus just clicking all the boxes. And also recognize that life is dynamic, situations change. So we have to be adaptable, whether that means we're engaging or we're enduring or we're finding a mix of both. And lastly, to recognize the importance of self-care, to not let our physical and mental well-being go because we're overly engaged or just on autopilot, right? So I hope that you found your space in this episode, whether you're like, oh, I guess I've been enduring this and engaging in that way. If you found any value in this episode, any clarity, I ask you to take 7 seconds and share this episode with one other person. I really appreciate you tuning in. Remember, this podcast is not a substitute for you calling the 988 or any of the other 800 numbers listed in all the show notes. You can chat, talk, text. Go to thrivewithleo.com for one-on-one coaching with yours truly. Let's get to tomorrow together.